Welcome, welcome.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Hi, welcome, everybody.
So we're a little ahead of the game. So we are doing a little pre-record for you. We did promise in season three that we were going to have some pre-records. And we're having guests, very special guests. Yes.
Okay, before we get into that, I have to give you quick updates, though, if that's okay. Just super fast.
Go for it.
With how my day has gone. I'm wearing my Sonoma State sweater.
It's the oldest sweater that I own.
And I parted my hair on the left today because I'm trying to get new energy in my life. I did the most amazing hair flip for the listener. I just feel like today was a really good day. So I'm in a good mood. How are you guys doing?
Well, good. Let's introduce our guest, Scott. We were actually just talking that our days were both kind of long and mine was a little rough. I don't want to speak for you, but you want to say hi?
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. How was your day? Welcome.
It was packed.
Yeah.
Packed. Also had some balance.
That's great.
Good.
Yeah. We have Scott on, actually. So Scott was our first feedback about the Jaro episodes. And so feedback in good ways, in great ways. He just was like, I would love to come on the pod. And so we were, maybe I said that, actually. Maybe I suggested it. But I do think that it's just so interesting to get different perspectives. And, of course, podcast is all people's, own perception of everything and the way that they go through the world and everything. So, yeah, I don't know. So anyways, we just were so curious about the feedback from Jaro's episode. And then we talked a lot about that. Obviously we did a few follow-up episodes on that, but more importantly, Scott is a very good friend and he has a really cool job. And we kind of just wanted to dig a little bit deeper into, what his life is like, his day to day. But we first wanted to start off and just have Scott introduce himself and where you're from, how we know each other, maybe. Yeah, who are you?
All right. So, I grew up in the suburb of Philadelphia and went to college in Tampa. And, I guess a little then I was in a camper for 5 years with my wife.
Hell yeah.
We went around the country two times and we found Bend, which we hung up the keys to the camper. Because, Bend's a cool place to be. As far as part of the thing we'll be talking about today is that I'm also a therapist, and where does that come into play to this conversation? We'll find out. I don't know. I think more things will come out about me in this conversation, perhaps. We'll see.
Yeah, I love
absolutely.
It.
We are candid,
will you
right?
go
into candidly 30.
Yeah, absolutely. Will you go into a little bit about how you got into the profession or how you chose your profession or what you went to school for? Did you pivot?
Sure. I think as a little kid, I actually was interested in what I was I want to be a psychologist, even though I might not have known exactly what that entailed. And then I think everybody as you grow up, things change and evolves. And in college, I had different ideas and still always knew I wanted to work with people. But I think once I got into the real world and I was doing some sales and some other jobs, I was not fulfilled. And so that's where it came back to. I think many people get to a point in life where you're what am I doing? And what does my heart want to do? And that brought me back to the field. So I kind of came back to what I think the child in me even knew I wanted to do. And
that's really cool.
Yeah. I went to school in Tampa and did my grad program there. And before COVID, Stephanie wanted to be a travel nurse. And so that's what made us hit the road. And I had to become remote prior to COVID. Well, that brings us to Bend. And I'm now a therapist here remotely and in person. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, actually, can we go a little bit into Steph? Maybe she someday would want to come on the pod. But Stephanie has also a very cool job. They're like a power couple. Will you explain what Stephanie is? I don't know her direct title.
She's a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So still in the psychiatric, the psychological world, the psychiatric world. And we don't share a practice and we approach these things in different, angles. But One thing we both do is we totally care about what we're doing. And I think that that's like also part
of, that's really cool.
We'll be part of this conversation too, is like maybe when you do follow your heart in these ways and find that balance, you can like hopefully stay passionate about what we're doing while we're, you know, navigating Earth.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Sorry, we kind of jumped over the like, how we know each other's situation and everything, because Scott's just has a really cool story in general. If you ever get a chance to trap Scott in a hot spring and get to hear his story, it's very cool. But how do we know each other?
So like the vortex of Bend.
Yeah.
Does.
There is a vortex for
the
real.
Vortex of, pulls people together. And the big friend circle, which has little subcategories, but respectful ones. I don't want to quite call it cliques, but like, but I would say like the big group breaks off into subcategories, and you know, I found myself among a great group of people, and then I'm like thinking back of the beginning of when I knew Kelly, but my brain brings back that this conversation in the rain, outside of a cabin at a birthday party in the woods.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
were, and we were like, a group of us went to get firewood, but we had to walk like, we had to walk like five minutes in the rain, and we're pushing a wheelbarrow kind of like up the hill together.
Yeah.
And we established that we both enjoy walking uphill.
Yes, correct. Yep. That is real. And it's been our inside joke ever since, but we still have not walked uphill together.
But we're going to do a hike one
day. Okay, someday.
And we're going to enjoy the
yeah.
That was,
right.
I think, our, like, for me, our first good connection.
Yes. Yeah.
Aside from just maybe being at a gathering and knowing each other.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say my first ever memory of Scott is actually in this house where we're recording right now, which is his and Stephanie's home. I told him today, I've never been here in the daytime because they always just used to have like either pre-show parties or after-show parties where we just get to hang out and then all go to the show together. And so it's just really fun. To be here. But yeah, so now I get to see it in the daytime and they live in a really cool tree house and it's amazing.
Ooh, cool.
So yeah, but besides that, our first time that we actually got like one-on-one time was definitely at Laura's birthday.
Yeah, and it was so nice and it was a good talk and a good connection.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Very cool. And you have now met Kate too a couple of times, or was it just at Folk and Forage?
My first one was at your house.
Oh, right.
Totally.
For my housewarming
party. Yes. I just know that, like, you making eye contact with you across the room, you're such a lovely person. Like, I had to go immediately to you and just started chit-chatting about, I honestly can't remember, but I just remember feeling bubbly and like, oh, that guy's cool. So I'm going to come back and have another convo with him. But that's my first impression.
Yeah. That's a great, actually, segue into, like, what you do and how easy it is to talk to you and everything, too. Do you find that about yourself? Or no?
Well, I appreciate have an interesting question, if that's okay.
Please.
Just, I love that your philosophy on like staying optimistic, because like lately life has been a little bit of a challenge for this kid and me. And that's been a common theme, I'd say, on the last like four podcasts. But like, I'm curious about how we approach this and staying positive and optimistic. And is that something that you hear often? Is that just, or is it me isolated in my own little dark corner?
So you're go ahead and just make a more precise question, like direct question.
Do you find that people that you talk to on a regular basis are struggling to stay optimistic?
Yes. So I can, okay. Thank you for just saying it one more time for me. I definitely do find that right now. And for some weird reason, especially right now, like not just this year, but there's been more transitions among people, meaning breakups, like in relationships or job shifts or like just major life changes. And I'm not one to talk about astrology necessarily, although only because I don't know about it. But I don't know what is behind this. Just seems I am seeing like more so
shifts.
Yeah. More shifts, more transitions, which can be a very positive thing afterwards.
Right. Yeah. But you have to like reframe your mind to see it as positive, kind of.
Most of the time, when people are in a good place, it follows some kind of turmoil. And so if you're able to realize that, like, how did you get in this good place? Hey, some people might have ridden this really smooth road the whole time, but a lot of times the good awesomeness comes from the poop.
Yeah, that's fair. You can cuss.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to say, so what does your, like, I know obviously we can't go into any specifics, but what does your, like, day-to-day look like? And how do you feel, or how do you get clients? Or can you kind of talk a little bit about how you started your own practice and how all that's going for you?
Yeah. So first, before I answer that directly, I want to say, in a funny way, I don't identify as my job the way our society kind of, you know, first question, what do you do? And I, when someone asks me that, I ask them back, you mean for fun or for money? And because I'm curious what they mean, and I don't want to assume that they meant what my job is for money or that's what I do. And when you ask me what my day-to-day looks like, my first part of my brain isn't even work. And that's like to me, it's a beautiful reality. And I get it that's fortunate. It's fortunate to even be able to say it, because most people have to go to a job that they may or may not really like. And so as a therapist, I have windows between clients sometimes, or I make my own schedule. And so my day-to-day kind of includes almost every day taking a nice walk or going outside or going to the gym or going climbing or like whatever my hobbies happen to be. I try to fit them in as much as possible. I want to connect with people. So like even this today, this is great. I just get to hang out with you guys and we're just talking. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I value as well. Outside of that, my work includes phone calls, video sessions, and some in-person therapy. Your question about how did I start like this part of the business? I got most of my experience in an agency where I worked with kids and teenagers and their families. And it was a very tight unit. It was a locked unit. It was a long-term unit, 3 months to a year that these kids would stay there. And it was all of the things, you know, from the good, the bad, the ugly. It was intense. And I got a lot of experience there. Also got to work in some adult units back in the beginning of my career. But when Stephanie wanted to become a travel nurse, this really forced me to, well, that was a huge transition. And I had to go remote before remote was a thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
That got me a good experience for being remote, and we could go around the whole country. But there came a time where it's like, you want to get a little more serious. And this was another part of your question, was like, how do you get clients? So I became credentialed with two insurance companies, and I have a Psychology Today profile, which I want to just say, like, for whoever's listening here, if you're looking for a therapist and you're not really sure how to figure that out, psychologytoday.com is an excellent way for you to find a therapist in your town. And you can even scroll, like, are they self-pay? Do they accept insurance? Or are they accepting new clients?
You can filter.
And you can do that on your own privately at your house. And it's an excellent resource for that type of research. So I just want to throw that out there, because there's a lot of people at home struggling. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you don't need to, you know, you can go on your insurance company's website if you have insurance, but this is a great resource for anybody. So I just want to throw that out there. And then networking and that Psychology Today profile seems to be the best way that people find me. It's like people are scrolling these days. So why not scroll there to find what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. Very cool.
I love it.
Do you feel like having, I wanted to mention that we do actually have, I feel like we're kind of unique in that we have a couple of friends in our friend group that are all therapists. Do you find, I know that you guys kind of have like a resource group together that you guys like talk about things, and how do you feel, or like,
have you ever had that kind of community where you have like support like that? Or like, how do you feel having other like therapist friends?
Great question. I haven't felt this ever. Aww. So I've been doing this for 15 years. I've been a therapist for 15 years. Outside of that agency, I've definitely been on my own and got used to it. In fact, tomorrow night is like our once a month consult group. And yeah, it's like, it's friends that are therapists. It's awesome. I didn't know I was missing it because I didn't have it. Now that I have it, I wouldn't want to be without it. And so that's been a really beautiful, beautiful thing for sure.
Just to like bounce ideas off of each other? Or what do you guys do in your consult group?
That's a big piece of it, is if you're a private practicing therapist and you don't go to an office, you don't have anyone to talk to, if you have a difficult case and you don't have a consult group, what do you do? And so, yes, we'll go around in a circle and say, like, what would each of us do in this case? Or really, we talk about sometimes insurance hangups, or where do we get continuing educational credits? And we also have different modalities. Two of the girls in there are brain spotting, like I'm cognitive behavioral therapy. Stephanie's a psychiatric nurse practitioner. So like these different modalities, we get to really learn a lot about not only each other, how we do things, how we can, like I have clients who I'm like, oh, they would be a great candidate for brain spotting. And I don't know how to do that. One of the therapists does EMDR. So like we're all quite different. It's really wonderful.
Yeah, different specialties and things. Yeah, I mean, as someone who's just done like dipped my toes into therapy, I would say I wasn't as aware of like all the different things that you could actually like get into. I mean, there's like ketamine therapy these days. Like obviously that's like prescribed and all of that different situation. But yeah, I feel like there's just so many different ways to like go about it that it's so interesting to be able to learn from each other. And we just have such a cool friend group. And I mean, our friend group is cool with all types of jobs and things, but I think it's really cool you guys have each other.
Therapist individuals. Those are the most interesting people.
Because everyone else is like a nurse. Me and Natalie are like the only ones that like...
A lot of medical professionals in that area, for sure.
Yeah. We're not in healthcare. Oh, but anyways.
Which doesn't matter because what everyone's doing is awesome.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. And then there might be some people that might be in between things and they're awesome too. And a ton of parents.
Yeah. Ton of parents.
Which I feel like, and I know this isn't one of the questions, but I feel connected to you in certain ways because we're part of the friend group that don't have kids.
Yes.
And I think this, whether this might be a sensitive topic for you, I don't know.
Oh, no, not at all.
But we get to like have this beautiful time with our friends' kids and like be the aunt and uncles, like, you know. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I just know when we're with everybody, like, well, there's only a few of us in this boat. So like, you know, I resonate with you.
Yeah, for sure. It's very true.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What, do you feel like you have used some of your like learnings in your own life? Do you find like benefits for your professional and your personal life and how they meld together? Like your yes. marriage and... But do you guys, because you're both therapists, do you feel like you therapize each other?
So there's a few questions in there.
Yeah, sorry.
And so I'm going to try to answer them separately right there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ask you to rephrase that in some way. Sorry, I did that to you earlier.
You're good.
It's not an answer. I wanted to answer it directly also. So it helped me when you did do that. My first answer is being a therapist for this long has helped me in profound amount of ways. I'm so grateful that this is what I chose to do because I think it's helped me become the best version of myself. Sometimes, like, a dentist might have bad teeth and a doctor might have high blood pressure and therapists may stereotypically be crazy. I don't know. So what I know for me is talking about and teaching certain skills to people is like being a student too the whole time. And so these things that like I work with people on, I find that I am like more likely to utilize these skills for myself because they're always fresh in my mind. Mm. It's like getting a client to and catching myself in unhealthy thinking patterns is it's readily available for me to do those things. Exploration of how past has impacted me now. It's all there for me because it's so present in my life. My marriage, without a doubt, has this helped with communication skills and identifying not only my own insecurity spots and like understanding myself better. I have to say, yeah, I feel like this has been a great choice for me for those reasons. Yeah, that's my answer. Really, really, really grateful for that.
That's cool.
That's incredible.
Uh-oh, she frozen.
Uh-oh, I'm here.
No, you were. I wasn't sure if you were just smiling.
You were frozen with a smile.
Oh, God. Sorry. No, that's incredible to hear that there's such passion there behind what you do and what you're able to help and teach other people. Because, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Not to put any heat on you, are you a listener of the pod?
I have listened to the pod because I listened to the Jaro episode.
You're right.
That was the one that I listened to. But when in our friends chat, like if the link gets posted, like that's how I'm going to be more likely to listen to something because I'm not like typically listening to podcasts in my life typically.
Fair enough. Yeah. That's totally fine. But more recently, there's like I'm thinking about a career switch, trying to identify what I want to do with my life. But I hope that I find something that I have such passion and like reverence for the career and the industry and like what you do for people. So like, that's incredible. But speaking of the Jaro episode, do we want to kind of dig a little bit deeper? Cause I do remember during the house party that Kelly had, we talked a little bit about it, but yeah. Do you want to kind of, let's give a little bit of Kelly, why don't you give people like a quick recap on what we talked about for the Jaro episode and some of the feedback that you got, and then we can jump to Scott if that works.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, I should have re-listened to it, I think, because, I mean, what stands out to me most is, well, I guess now, like, there's kind of a turn of events also, because Jaro is no longer single, everyone. Wah, wah, wah.
Heard but, it first, ladies and gentlemen.
But I think it's just so interesting. I think, like, my biggest takeaway was mostly just, like, how obviously being on the dating apps at the same time and us both having such a different experience with them and also us having different thoughts on like why it doesn't work was like my biggest takeaway. His being that like girls are too picky in my remembering, girls were too picky for boys' profiles, whereas they think that like they should get people that are like much hotter than are in their like realm or whatever you want to call it, in their bubble or in their eligibility. Whereas men,
that was a really good PC way of putting that. Good job.
Yeah. Men don't get the matches because this, that, or the other. They just like never are able to actually like connect with people in order to get women to meet with them and go on dates with them and that kind of stuff. Was that kind of,
yeah.
Or did you have something like specific?
No, I don't mind talk. Like I was saying to you guys, I just like human behavior. Like let's talk about any topic about people and why we do things and why we don't do things. I love this conversation. And so like, as far as my feedback, like how about just talking about online dating in general, the concept of it.
Yeah.
To start
or making
with
friends in your like adult life, you know, like that's hard to make connections with people as you get older.
I would love to talk about that too. And that actually comes to play in my work on a regular basis is developing out like a well-rounded life and a well-rounded lifestyle with what I call the like ingredients to wellness. Our social connections being an absolute major one, our romantic relationships being a major one, online dating being an extremely new, as far as like you know, society goes, a new concept that they may say statistics and say this and that and the other thing, but why don't we take a look at what our statistics are in our mm-hmm. friend groups? Those are some rough statistics, if you ask me. And I feel like, let's talk about why.
Right.
And if we go there, in every other part of our history, people got to know each other. I have this one client, and she's super funny. And what she calls it is in the wild. And she's not talking about the trees. She's like, you want me to meet people in the wild? And I'm like, I think
it's funny. That's what I say, too.
Well, it's a generational.
I say out in the world.
In the world. But for her, what she's referring to is she's lived such a large piece of her life behind a screen. And this is part of the problem is when she thinks about meeting people in the wild, it's scary. This is part of the problem. For all of history, people met, air quotes, in the wild. You met doing activities. You got to see what this person was like, where they're not trying. You're not on a first date to assess chemistry and like assess, like, can we be married one day? It was like, you get to know people. And I feel like this needs to revert back. And yeah. There's ways to do this. So come on, jump on in with me.
I mean,
I can go on a tangent, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like there definitely is a movement, though. I mean, just that I've seen from social media, and social media is a whole other, man, ballgame to get into as far as, like, connections and losing the sense of connection because of social media and everything. But I feel like there is a movement to, like, meet people in the wild. I did a little experiment for, I guess, just since we're talking about it, I did a little experiment for the month of April, and I deleted all the dating apps, and I got like 4 people's phone number in the wild. Like, not me asking, that would have been way too aggressive for me, but like people asking me for my phone number in the wild. And I think, like, I'm not like an astrologer, like Scott said, or anything. I don't really like, I'm not super woo-woo or anything, but I do believe that, like, what you put out into the universe, like, will come back to you. So, like, I was putting out for the month of April, just like, I just want to, like, be out in the world. And I was, like, doing different things. And I do think that that actually, like, is reflected in, like, I don't know, your body language and things like that. And so it just, like, attracts people to you more. And so that's just how people used to be. And that just isn't there anymore, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also really interesting that, like, they don't teach people how to have connections and how you have to put in the work when it comes to a relationship. So if you're already predestined to, like, be anxious to put your foot out the door, like, you have to be vulnerable in that process. And I think that's a skill set that they don't teach anymore. And they don't really give people the space and grace to be vulnerable, right? Like, everything's so harsh these days. If you mess up, then you are done, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could get ghosted.
Right. Yeah. See.
I want to address your thing about making friends as an adult. Like, mm-hmm. I think that there's strategies, and one of them, and I would love to talk, I do love to talk about this because this is human behavior. If you start going to, like, you can pick almost anything that you're into and find a group that's doing that thing, and then show up the same day of the week at the same time several times. And the term familiar, that word familiar, is what happens. And the second we become familiar to a group of people, this healthy foundation starts to form. You're way less likely to get ghosted by people who start to know you. So, like, it's way easy to just have, like, no actual connection and then get left and start developing a bad taste in your mouth. Become familiar. Show up to the same thing, same day of the week, same time. You don't even have to talk to anyone for the first few times. Soon they're going to talk to you. Make eye contact. Don't go into a corner and look down like this. Give a little smile when you show up. And soon enough, it happens. You got 4 phone numbers in that month. No aggressive behavior for you, right? It's what happens. People talk and then they say, and they're all in the same boat. Then they say, hey, we should go do blanks sometime. It's organic. It's a healthy foundation. And from that, you get into maybe their friend group or they yours, or like, just this is the strategy. Show up to a thing, go to it every week at the same time and repeat and give it a chance. Give it 4 to 8 times and you will build community if you want to, if you go there with that open heart.
Yeah. Yeah. That's real. I mean, the thing with Ben, that, I do find
like four couple friends that I've been like showing up and trying to do that, but it takes time. Like, you know, just takes a little bit of time to get the introduction to the next level. Sorry, Kelly, go ahead.
Oh no, that's okay. Bend, I feel like, is quite an interesting place in that there's so many cool people that do so many cool things that sometimes it's like a little overwhelming or intimidating maybe. And so, yeah, just finding what you feel comfortable like doing is like, I feel like, the biggest hurdle. And then once you do that, then yeah. But maybe that's just all of life. I don't know. Okay. If you tell me, because you're in a whole new environment, basically, like you're starting over again, basically.
It's like we're trying to make friends with all these different people. And like if we vibe with somebody and the chemistry works, we get along with them, they get along with us, then it's just like dinners and happy hours. And then I met with the wife and her girlfriends, and they're talking about doing a dude's thing one night, you know, getting introduced to like their fantasy football league or whatever, just to be around. Honestly, it's like exposure therapy. And then I'm just stuck to them. That's kind of, we're in the process of that right now.
Okay. I think that that's great. And I think that that's like how it starts. Mm-hmm. You reminded me of like just a concept of like expectation of the relationship. Part of the problem with online dating, expectation of you and I meeting from online and going in person, we're going to be a couple. That's wild expectations to put on each other. Mm-hmm. Next wild one. We're going to be best friends. If you find a best friend again at like in these older stages, it's beautiful and wonderful and rare to find like, did we just become best friends moment, you know, with mm-hmm. like a stepbrothers moment. But you can find people you mesh with. Like, look at this, like our circle of friends. You can kind of see who's best friends. Maybe you can't be best friends with everybody. So, but if you, here comes some fishing analogies, which are typically really good for lots of things. If you put your hook in several different ponds, well, you maybe will get a keeper, like a keeper fish, you know, and that might be a good friend. But like, you don't think that you're going to date one person and that's going to be like an online dater. That's going to be your one. This is what's so difficult about online dating. It does not actually pull the keeper very easily. So it can be overwhelming and take forever. But if you just start going out and you get to really know people, you can kind of weed out without having to date. What you can weed out people without dating, actually, by doing things in person. And those dinners that you're doing, Kate, that's great. You're meeting people. If you end up connecting with one girl that ends up being really close with you, that is a certain victory, definitely.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if I can build bodies and go to cycling class with a girl, then like she's my bestie. So we're on our way. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, or like, yeah, if you just get introduced to one girl who introduces you to another person who introduces you to another person, then you might find like your best friend. But you can't find a new best friend. Hello.
Yeah, right. My bad. No. I would like to say something. I want to say something about that. So I apologize. You don't need a new best friend.
I think it's funny.
I like talking about like the expectation or the goal on any topic, to ask a person, what's your goal here? So a fitness trainer should ask that person that too. You should never assume anyone's goal. Well, I would like in my relationships, my goal is, can I be my authentic self with you? Like a new guy, like, are you cool with me crying? Because I might cry. Are you cool with me? Like whatever it is that I am, if you accept that with me, this is a really great foundation for our friendship. And like, even the guys in our friend circle, you're like the squish group, we call it, who are newer men to me, I'm finding that, yeah, I can cry to them if I want to. That's a nice feeling because I'm not trying at this age to like have a like a bullshit, oh, we got to be all macho and or whatever. I don't have time for non-authentic interactions. And so that right now, I don't care if they're going to be my best friend. I care about when we're together, are we being ourselves and do we like welcome that? And are we like feeling that good connection like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do feel like Squish is pretty authentic with like all the personalities and everything and how we all, yeah, like you're right. Like we do have little cliques, but everyone gets along so well too.
Yeah.
Squish
group is so fun. Yeah. Hang out in the Squish camp. It's always a good time.
Yeah. Kay has been introduced to Squish quite a few times now, so she's getting the full intro. Absolutely.
Should we transition to gratitudes and grievances and kind of wrap this puppy up?
Okay, so usually we end the pod with a grievance, and then we say a grievance, just like whatever's going on in our lives, and then we end with a gratitude at the end to keep it positive going out. It can be something as small as, like my shower wasn't working to Ben drivers. Yeah. Anyways, Kate, you go first since I just entered that.
So right before we came onto this podcast, I had like a really quick adventure. I had a Brazilian wax and it was fastest freaking Brazilian I've ever had. It literally took 13 minutes. She just like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And now I'm bare. And that's great. So I want to be a little grieved at the fact that it was rough. It was a really sloppy job, but I got it done, you know?
Wow. I would be happy that it was that fast, honestly.
I don't know. What do you mean? I don't think you would be happy.
What makes it sloppy?
You know, sometimes they take their time with the wax and then they let it cool off. And then it's just like not as horrific as a hot thing of wax being ripped off your, you know, pubic bone or whatever. So, you know, if it's sloppy, just like putting it down super fast, you can burn. There's like a lot of itching that happens. It can really hurt. So that's what makes it a sloppy job is that it really friggin' for all of the Brazilian waxes and like all the waxing that I've done in my life. It's never hurt this bad. I'm just going to say that.
What a grievance for Scott today.
Like burns from wax.
Yeah, I appreciate learning a little bit about that. And then learning what it means to, you know, do it in a floppy manner. All right, I got one.
Okay, you're up.
So I don't have any kids right now and our pets have moved forward as well. So I'm a plant daddy right now, and I got a lot of them, and I have a major grievance. We have developed a little like a gnat problem, and I'm at war, and it's consuming me. And like I there's a couple little sticky tape hanging around, but I'm upset. It's like taking me over. I just want to like I'm fighting a war. They're doing okay and I'm doing okay. And I have to do all the research to figure out how to win this battle. But holy shit, I'm a plant daddy and I'm protective and I do not like what's happening right now. And I just need to get that shit out because I'm feeling it.
Oh my gosh. Oh man. No, gnats are the worst, especially when. Oh, did it? during the recording, yeah. Scott almost had to go kill all these gnats while recording. That's funny. Sometimes it just is like stagnant water in the plants at the bottom, you know?
What is your research? And what works best for you?
Scott knows.
I'll tell you what I've learned so far. So you can make a little mix. So worst case scenario, you got to clean the roots and repot them. But that's me losing the war, I feel like.
Okay.
So you can do hydrogen peroxide, like a 1-4 ratio and start. Like first sticky stuff, like the sticky tapes, definitely, which I kind of just cut them down, but I'm going to put new ones up. They work really well. Mm. The hydrogen peroxide spray is for the soil to start like killing, I'd say like the larvae or larva, whatever you say, and the like whatever's growing in the soil that can help dry it out. Mm-hmm. People do that with Blue Dawn soap as well, mm-hmm. like Blue Dawn mixed with water and spray it. But the newest method that someone told me is there's these rings that are supposed to go in like man-made ponds or pools for mosquito larvae. Mm. And you usually would drop it in the pond. It's safe for the plants. It's safe for animals. And so what you do is you break it up into a powder, sprinkle it around the soil. And as you water your plant, it's going to go into the soil and ultimately will take care of what's inside of the soil. Got to be patient for that one. I'm doing all of these things.
Okay. Next time we have you on the pod, we expect a full write-up and report.
Well,
this is my grievance, and I'm on it. I'm feeling it. Your turn.
I was going to say, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but mostly just like packing. You know, like packing like your clothes is one thing, but like packing the car to go camping is my nightmare.
We've been doing that a lot.
Yeah, we've been camping a lot. And then with the last few trips too, like it's been raining. And so Kate had to clean up after Folk and Forage because it was her tent and stuff. But yeah, before that, when we went to Crystal Crane and stuff, it was raining. So everything is just wet, you know? So like packing and unpacking when everything's like soaking wet and covered in that white, like little playa dust from Crystal Crane is my nightmare. And I'm just thinking about because I have to pack tomorrow because we're going camping again this weekend, Scott. Kate and I are.
Sweet. Where are we headed?
We're going to California to a music festival that we always go to.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We're headed to Cottage Grove where our friends bought a little house there and we're going to go.
They get to see the farm officially.
Maybe forage some mushrooms.
Cool.
Yeah.
They have a house here, but they also just bought a house in Cottage Grove. And so they're just like getting it all set up. And yeah, they have done a lot of work to it so far. So it seems really cool.
It'll be our first time.
Yeah. I haven't been yet. Maybe someday we'll do a squish camp out there. I've talked to Riley about it, but
I think it would be good.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, okay. Gratitude. Should we just do one gratitude?
Yeah, I'll do mine really fast. In the middle of recording, my husband came in with a bottle of red. Well, not a bottle, just a glass, everybody. Calm down. Just a glass. So I had a little mid-podcast recording session delivery because I texted him on my way home today. I was like, I had the most horrific Brazilian wax. I need something. So.
Oh, nice. That's very sweet of him. See? Good communication texting.
Yep. Me texting him, telling him what to do. It's great.
Mine's going to be a two-piece. I want to just share gratitude for at this stage of life, like the community that's being formed here and the friendships at the end of our lives. When we look back at life, it's going to definitely be about these people that will cross our minds more so than other things. And so right now is a really, really beautiful chapter. I'm super grateful and have gratitude for the people, but I definitely want to throw a shout out to Stephanie, my beautiful wife. We're approaching that 15-year mark of being together in just a couple weeks. And as some people that are close with us know, this was a coincidence that we took this full year to not drink. And like, it was just a coincidence that year ends of, not that we're going to start drinking, but it, as you have your beautiful glass of wine. but my point is that we took this year not knowing it was going to end on the same week as our 15-year anniversary.
Wow.
So I look back and I'm like, wow, we just really tested our relationship by doing that. Like, and at all, first of all, testing the relationship by doing it at all, but doing it like leading up to this anniversary. And I have such gratitude for Stephanie and the life that we have together. And I just want to end with that. I'm super grateful. I love Stephanie.
Yeah, we love Stephanie.
Yeah.
All right, Kelly.
And I'm just grateful to Scott for wanting to do this and also being in the friend group. Yeah. And just taking the time out of your day. I know that, yeah, we don't really have infinite time at this point. So thank you for spending it with us. And thanks for being so open to, yeah, just like my silly questions and me texting them to you at like 5 o'clock this morning.
I just wanted to not get too many surprises.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to, just say thank you and
It's been my pleasure. I definitely would love to do this again, talk more about behavior and society. If that's like, when you do that, let me in on it.
Well, yeah, we were thinking maybe we could do some like, Am I the Assholes? Have you ever done those? Yeah. That's like that. Such human behavior. Let's and you can it. Like decide on, yeah, how they feel about certain situations. And
I love it.
You could do like as a person versus like how a therapist would respond. Maybe that would be really fun.
There is a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Cool. All right. Well, you heard it here. You're going to hear more from Scott. And we love you all so much.
Bye. Thanks for being candid.
Thanks for having me, everybody. Have a good one.
That's all for today's episode.
Hope you enjoyed listening as much as we love ya.
Follow us on Instagram @candidly30.
See you next week, bitches.